so 43, some retired and out there pulling weeds, and just an awesome picture, and prepping and getting this whole facility ready so they could share God's love in just meaning and tangible ways. And so I want to thank you all for doing that and serving. And again, we've got that coming up that Saturday where we'll be serving there. But we are continuing rooted. And how do we get rooted in God's love? As we're talking about the creator of the universe, and if we want to get connected to that, if we want to find joy, that you and I want to get connected to the very God who created it all in his joy. And so we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to jump right in. Can we do it? Psalm 96, we're going to go there. If it's almost in the middle of your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we've got our big blues in the pews, and so you can grab that and take that home. If you don't have one, that's our gift to you. So we'll be there in Psalm 96. So Psalm 96 starts out this way. And this morning, I mean, here at church, we're glad everyone's here. You don't have to believe to belong. And so as we read, we believe God's word is inspired. And so as we read God's word, we want to hear from God. But if you hear things you like, I mean, don't be afraid. We don't, church, you don't just have to sit there and have the stare on your face. Feel free to help me preach, shouting out an amen, just simply saying it's true or let it be. So help me preach this morning. Psalm 96 says this, and church can be fun, can it?
Yeah.
Come on, it can be fun, right? So let's do this. This is God's word, says this, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. That's why we sing songs. Often, it's not normal in our culture to sing songs, right? We don't walk down the streets in downtown Fullerton, at the job, at the office. We don't sing to each other. But there's something in the way we were created to sing, to have this joy. And so it might be a new experience, but God says, sing to the Lord a new song. Something new, something good, and sing to God. And it says this, verse 3, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Has God been good to you? Has he done good things in your life? Amen. There we go. We're preaching. Has God done good things in your life? He has. For many of us, God has done good things. And if you're here, and I invite you in this journey, because we worship a God that does good things. And as the scriptures say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That we get to proclaim the good things that God does in our lives. And so that's why we gather. We want to share about the good things that he's doing. Verse 4 says this, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. So God, who spoke and the heavens were created. Now, do you know one of the beautiful things will be a little bit of setting the theme this morning as we are talking about sharing the light. And that's what it is in the rooted, that why we would share about God's goodness and why do we share about his love. Do you know when God spoke and created the universe, that the universe was created and is still continuing to be created? That the God of the universe who created the heavens, do you know stars have life? That stars are continued to be born. It's so interesting that God created people, and when he created us, he gave us the gift of procreation. We get to have children and spawn little us's that are go around and crawl around the earth and infect the earth. But God actually gives, and some of you are like, what? Infect? I know. I was just watching my kids all weekend, so I'm real parenting life. But God gives us the gift of being able to create, and the universe is still expanding. Do you know astrophysicists, they're studying that our universe is expanding at an incredibly rapid rate. That they're always adjusting this estimation, but it's around 70 kilometers per second per, let's see if I can get this right, megaparsec. And a megaparsec, you're like, what is this guy speaking this language? A megaparsec is about 3.3 million light years. And so the universe is continuing to expand. And I'm no astrophysicist, because I was trying to understand this, and I was just like, tell this to me in miles per hour. And you know, in kilometers, we don't even speak kilometers. So it's about 40 or so miles per second. But then it's time as the universe is expanding. It's not just in time, but also, or in speed, but it's also measured in time. And then my brain just goes, in the 3.3 million light years. And so, but how fast is that? Very fast. That's my scientific explanation for that. The universe is continuing to grow. And God is creating. God is doing good things. And so see this. It says, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. For he's to be feared above all. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. And the heavens are continuing to proclaim God's creation. The God created and the heavens are continuing to create. Life is continuing to go forward, and it's expanding, and it's growing. And it says this, continues on, splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe, give credit to the Lord, all you families of the nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. God is to be worshiped in all of the nations. So God, as we come before, God creates the heavens and the earth. And yet, what we see, jump down to verse 11 with me, says this. Actually, no, let's go there, 10. Say, among the nation, the Lord reigns. Can we say that this morning? The Lord reigns. Together. The Lord reigns. Come on, we can do better than that. Let's do it again, right? The Lord reigns. All of the nations are proclaiming the Lord reigns. Look at this. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Do you see this theme that's going on? Creation, as God created, all of creation is giving God glory. It continues. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord. Let all the, back in verse 12, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Again, let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in faithfulness. There's this theme that God creates creation, and the creation can't help but praise and rejoice and give praise to God. Even the fields are jubilant. When was the last time you were jubilant? The joy. I mean, studies show time and time again that Americans, we live with more and more depression. Life is difficult, isn't it? I mean, we hear of tragedies on the news, Las Vegas. We see the lives that were taken in the fire. There's a grind in life, yet you and I were made to worship God. And so there's this problem, and we'll get to this problem. But I want us to paint this picture that the psalmist is writing, that God is a good God and that we come and we get to worship this amazing God who created, who spoke. And the stars that are far, I mean, 13, they look at the farthest stars like 13.4, 13.3 billion light years away. And these lights that are coming to us that are continuing to speak of his glory. The psalmist writes that the oceans, the trees proclaim God's glory. One of my fondest memories of my mom growing up, my mom loved the ocean. And I remember we lived further growing up in the Bay Area. We lived further from the ocean, and we would drive. And I remember when we would get close, she would roll down the windows, and sometimes we'd just pull over, and she would just be like, "Do you smell that? Just smell the ocean. I mean, can you smell it now? Just how the waves crash and the salt that's in the air." I remember as a kid just getting, you know, you dig your feet in the sand, and as the tide rolls in, it rolls over. As the tide goes back out, your feet, it almost feels like you're going in reverse, doesn't it? And your feet dig in, and the waves proclaim God's goodness, and just the rhythm of the waves coming in and out, and the smells. And think about the trees, the wind. Have you ever gone out in the forest and just seeing the trees and the leaves just blowing, all giving praise, just the rustle of the leaves? All of God's creation speaks of his beauty. Just the wind blowing, all of God's creation gives glory to him. And you and I, we were created to have joy, just as the fields have joy. The fields are jubilant. You and I were created to find our joy in an amazing God who created us. But here's the distinction that we have between creation. Because you and I, we can look at creation and see how beautiful creation is. But the scriptures actually say that you and I were created in God's image. That as beautiful as the sunset and the sunrise that happens, you and I are far more beautiful than that. Because God says, all of my goodness, all of my glory, and I give you a portion of that. I create you in my image. And so there's this joy that we get to have and this joy that God has over us. And so we hear this spoken over us that you are valuable, that you are created in God's image, yet there's a tension in this world, isn't there? There's this pain where we see that the fields are jubilant, but God, why am I not jubilant? We know we're created, and the scriptures say that every single person is without excuse to worship God. Because by the way the universe was created, the heavens and the sea proclaim God's glory. And so you and I are without excuse. Whether we hear the Bible or not, just by seeing this, we should know that there's a God out there. There's something inside of us that says there's something more in this world. There's something greater than me, and our hearts long for it. And yet there's this frustration, the scriptures say, this groaning. Why don't we get to worship God in this joy? And why don't we get to share this joy? And so if you have your notes, look at verse 8 with me. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, due to his name. So if you're taking notes, the first one is worship God in his splendor, not in yours, not in mine, if you're taking notes. So the call in scriptures is to worship God in his splendor and not in ours. Because what can often get caught up, can get twisted is, well, I'm not doing well. And that's, newsflash, church is a place where we come and it's not a place where you have to have it all put together. You have to be all put together. It's a place where we come as broken people. We come that we want to be put together by an amazing God. So we come, when we worship God, we're not worshiping God as perfect people. We're worshiping God in his splendor, not in ours. So the church isn't full of perfect people. If you're a guest here, I want you to know that I am not a perfect person. The Bible, in fact, says that if anybody claims to be without sin, they're liars. Nobody here is perfect. Yet we come and we get to worship a perfect God who his glory is being displayed everywhere we look. But here's a newsflash. It's not just in the sunset. It's not in the ocean. It's not in the trees. It's in us. God says, you were created in my image and you're perfect. In my image. And I want to restore you back to perfection. Now, what we often look at is the brokenness of the world, yet I find the brokenness is in my heart. There's a sign around the area that I love. Another pastor had mentioned it, and I thought it was so brilliant that as you drive around, there's this bike ad that mentions, and you'll see, some of you have probably seen this on the freeway, and it says, you are not stuck in traffic, you are the traffic. You are the traffic, right? Don't you do that? I do that in my own mentality. It's like, oh, this traffic. How could all these people be here? Yet, I am part of the traffic. We often look at the problem as out there, but Michael Jackson said it best. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm looking at the man in the mirror to see the problem. I have to realize, amen, right? I have to realize that I am part of the problem in this world. But what the hope that you and I have is that you and I can be restored as broken people. Now, here's the myth in Christianity, that we believe that God comes, and so there's all this splendor and this glory, and we know that we're supposed to worship him, and there's something about us that we know we are to share this with others. And so, but part of our frustration is that we don't know how to do it. And if you're a guest here today, maybe you've been frustrated with Christians that don't know how to share God's goodness well. And forgive us. Because sometimes as Christians, we get excited. Have you ever got excited about something and just try and rush the process? You're just like so excited about it. You're like, don't worry about the details. Boom. And as Christians, we're like, man, God's so good. God's so good. Somebody comes and we just like, boom. It's called Bible thumping. Not the way to do it. Not the way to do it. We get, forgive us, because we get excited about who God is. And sometimes we don't walk with people and share God's goodness. But let me break down some myths this morning as you would share the light. God isn't looking for perfect people to share about his goodness. God is looking for broken people, people that are willing to say, I'm broken, yet I look to a God who restores me. I feel like someone on our worship team, Tintin, had mentioned this to me this past week, and I was like, oh, that fits with what I'm talking about. There's this ancient Japanese art form, kintsugi. And I don't speak Japanese, so forgive me if I'm saying that wrong. Let me put a picture up on the screen for you. This ancient practice is gathering, when a bowl is broken, that they would gather different valuable gold or different dust and put it together kind of as an adhesive. I mean, look at this bowl. That's a beautiful bowl, isn't it? That they would take these bowls that were broken and they would mend it with gold. Now, the scriptures talk about this very thing. As you and I come, we come as broken people, yet restored by gold, restored by something greater. In fact, turn with me over to 2 Corinthians 4, says this. So 2 Corinthians is in the New Testament, chapter 4, verse 6 says this. We'll put it up on the screen for you as well. Verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness. So back returning to the creation, when God spoke, there was darkness and a void over the earth, and a void in the universe, and God speaks and light expands. I mean, just even that, the theory, it was so interesting studying this stuff this week, that you look at the universe as they're figuring out how it expands. They look and they say, we figure this out by rewinding the universe, by looking back, and it all begins with one point in time, and there's this explosion. It's like how the universe is expanding. Imagine a balloon, and you draw dots all over that balloon, and you blow into that balloon, and the universe, that's how the stars growing farther apart from each other, and so the universe expands. But what they do is almost, imagine letting the air out of that balloon, and it's all coming back together, and that's what scientists are saying. It all began in this one moment. This moment that we believe as Christians, that God spoke, and the universe began to expand. So it speaks of this right here. Paul is writing about that. Let light shine out of darkness. It said, light shine out of darkness, made his light, Jesus, his shine, God, in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory, which we've talked about, displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that all surpassing power is from God and not from us. It goes on to say that we're cracked, we're pressed. Why a clay jar? Because a clay jar, it gets broken. And these cracks, what happens? So God's light shines in us. His light of the world is inside of us and gets exposed through the cracks. Maybe you've been trying to hide your cracks. Maybe you've been trying to hide all of your deficiencies. But the scriptures say God's perfect, God is made complete in our brokenness. That in our weakness, God is strongest. Maybe you've been trying to hide your weakness so you can share with others, but God says, no, no, no. Share your weakness. Share how I've overcome. Share how I've mended you back together. Right there, as we've talked about, as we proclaim, some of us, God's been good to us. Another psalm writes, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've been rescued by God, say so. I had an Uber driver pick me up. I had some problems with the car, and so it was getting picked up by an Uber, and all I wanted to do, I wanted to just get through my work, and I was just like, I just want to say hi to the guy and bye to the guy. And I'm sitting there thinking about it, and then I started thinking about this light, that God spoke light in this universe, and this very light is inside of me. And I was thinking about the darkness in the world. What about the darkness on our campuses? The darkness in our workplaces? The darkness in our own hearts? And yet Jesus comes in his light of the world. Do you know in John 8:12, let's go there real quick. We're going to go to a few verses. Man, I have a week off, man. I'm fired up. So let's go here. Got all this stuff just brewing in my brain. And it's like I can't not preach. Here we are. John 8:12. We'll throw it up on the screen for you as well. One more. Come on. All right, here it is. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus comes and says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness. So I was thinking about that with the Uber driver, and I was like, man, how can I not share God's goodness? And so some of us don't have that natural gift of just wanting to share with everyone. But what you can do is just simple practice of saying, hey, I'm on this journey. Come with me. Bring a friend to church. Bring them with you to your life group. Bring them to an event we're doing. Maybe it's just serving. Maybe letting your light shine in tangible ways. I watched a guy in the grocery store just the other day. They're walking. This guy had his cart full of kids, and it was a little bit in the alley, and this other guy walks by, and because it's right there, he kind of, boom, knocks into it. And then I was, you know, just like most people, waiting for the apology, but he just kind of goes, and then keeps going, like, you're in my way. And I was like, oh. Now, not to throw this guy under the bus, we don't know, maybe he had just a terrible week, but we have little moments like that. I saw how it impacted that person and those kids. You and I have little moments. It doesn't have to be this grandiose scheme and this plan. We have little moments that we can share God's light with other people. A word of encouragement. A word pointing people and saying, hey, it's not just good deeds, but come with me. Let me share with you what God has done in my life. Jesus speaks so poignantly to this because when we're in our lives, life can be difficult. It's like somebody always knocks us with the cart, isn't it? We feel like, oh, there's so much difficult things. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 5. It's a little bit to the left. We're going to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is speaking right here. It says this, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. He says, you. So who is you? He's speaking to a crowd. This is a famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is saying, as he speaks to the crowd, they're up on a hillside in kind of just rough terrain. Now, they're not in a fancy building, but Jesus is teaching, and he says, you. And he's speaking to a Jewish crowd. Now, the Jewish crowd, that we come to understand that they were under Roman rule, that many of them were oppressed, that you often hear in scriptures there's tax collectors that are imposing difficult taxes on them. So, I mean, imagine this group that has lost power. They're overly taxed. They're downtrodden. They're down. They're oppressed. And then Jesus comes to them, and he speaks these fascinating words. He says this to them. He says, "You are salt of the earth." Now, to me, when I first read this, it's like, I couldn't help but do the dad joke. It's insulting. Get it? Okay, sorry. It's insulting, isn't it? He says, you are the salt of the earth. It's like, we think about salt's just the annoying stuff. It splashes on our table and it gets everywhere and you just blow it away. And it makes food good, but it's salt. We had one of our missionaries come this last week that salt is such a valuable commodity for those where electricity is not there. It's still used. He was showing us these ancient trade routes that are still used today, and they block off these giant salt tabs, and they carry them on camels, and it's such a valuable commodity for those who don't have refrigeration. So he's not saying, when he's saying you are the salt of the earth, it's actually an extremely valuable commodity. So this group that's oppressed, they're downtrodden, they're down and out, and Jesus says, you're gold. The Roman Empire might say, you mean nothing, you're below us. But Jesus comes and he says, you're the salt of the earth. You have something inside of you to proclaim. He goes on with the imagery, you are like a light, like a city on a hill meant to shine for the whole world. God, Jesus gives this image that you and I are meant to share this goodness. You are gold. You're like the kintsugi, the gold, the broken pot put back together with gold. You are created in my image, and you have something to share. I'll close with this. Hubble telescope a few years back had pulled this up. And this star has a great, beautiful name. NGC 6565. Scientist. Not the creative ones. This star, what you see here, this nebula cloud, the star's actually dying. And the star will eventually turn into a white dwarf, what they call it. It's like just this solid mass. And it's not emitting light. Now, this star is it's in the solar system. It's Cass in Cassiopeia. And so with this, it's 16,038 1,000 light years away. I need some scientists out there to help me. Come on. I'm no astrophysicist. So you're here, you're looking, this star. Now, what's interesting about the star that we see here, and one of the stars, the Cassiopeia, I'm getting them mixed up a little bit, but the farthest star that we can see in our galaxy is 16,000 light years away. And so what that means is 16,000 light years, as the star, the light is coming, it was taking 16,000 light years for it to reach our eye, far before any of us were born. This light, this star, is continuing to speak. And this star here, as this star is dying, do you know this process takes 10,000 years? It's short in the kind of the span when they're looking at the universe and the galaxy. 10,000 years and you see this nebula cloud. But think of that. This star is dying, and yet for 10,000 years, it's continuing to speak. Our lives will continue to speak beyond our lives. When we point to a God who is eternal, he says, I came to give life, and these stars that are much like us being born and dying, these stars, far long after they die, they continue to give light for thousands of years. You and I have an opportunity to leave a legacy. You have an opportunity to brighten, to shine brightly in others' lives. What would Fullerton look like if we began, and what I think is so fascinating about this picture, this star is dying. Yet it's beautiful, isn't it? Our lives, as Jesus said, come follow me and take up your cross, sacrifice with me. You might die. It might cost you to share. It might be uncomfortable to share, but you can do a beautiful thing. You can create goodness. You have the opportunity to create. And Jesus says, I invite you in to be part of this creation. You are gold. The world tells you you're down, you're out, you have no joy, but you have joy in Jesus, the light of the world who shines brightly in you. Take hold of that. There's a promise for those, all those who believe can receive this and let your light shine even when you're dying. Like a beautiful nebula cloud. Let your light shine, brothers and sisters. Let it shine in your homes. Let it shine in the workplace. Let it shine in the city. And may God get the glory. The God of the universe, may we worship him. Would you pray with me? Amen. Father, God, may we worship you in your splendor, not in ours. God, you are a good God. Lord, the creation, all of creation speaks of your glory, is continuing to create. And Lord, as we gather here together as a community, we are invited to create with you. We get the opportunity to shed light into others' lives and have that light go into others and others. Lord, may this week, may you fill our minds with wisdom. May you give us ideas and simply how to share light with others. Walking alongside others in darkness. Lord, admitting our own mistakes. Father, we come to you as broken people. God, I'm broken. We're broken. Lord, maybe today would be the day that some of us would be put back together. Not by our own strength or our own power, but by your goodness, by your splendor and your power, may you restore brokenness. Jesus, you came to restore brokenness in this world. You came to restore the broken relationship between us and you. And God, maybe we need that. Maybe we feel far from you this morning. Maybe we hear the voices in our head that we aren't valuable, that we're meaningless, that we're broken and cast off to the side. God, maybe we would come into your presence. We'd be restored by a good God who restores and creates all new things. God, you are the light of the world. Would you shine brightly in our lives? Eradicate the darkness, God. God, would you cause us to share your light with others? We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
no harmony. There's no space between you and I.
Come on, yep. Yeah. Let me leave you with God's word. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. And another one from Numbers 6 says this, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. May you take that peace, may you take that light and let it shine to the rest of the world. May God bless you and keep you. Go in peace.